Welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host this week, Tom Wheeler, Executive Director of EPIC, the Environmental Protection Information Center. And joining me is my friend and colleague here at EPIC, Matt Simmons. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Tom.
And we are also joined by our friend Colin Fisk, Executive Director of CRTP, the Coalition for Responsible Transportation Priorities. Hey, Colin.
Hello, Tom and Matt and everybody else.
This episode is inspired by Eureka Police Department, who recently came out with a press release and community survey to address what they say is a rise in vehicle collisions in the city of Eureka. So, of course, with news like this, I had to turn to my friend Colin Fisk, who is the expert on all things traffic safety here on the North Coast. So we are going to break down whether or not there's an increase in collisions and the safety consequences of those collisions, as well as what can we do as a community to make our roads safer for all road users, whether you are in a car, on a bike, on foot, on rollerblades, whatever. So let's start at the beginning. Let's define this problem. Colin, do we have a car safety problem here, first generally in Humboldt County and specifically in Eureka?
The short answer is yes. Folks who have been following CRTP for a while will not be surprised to hear that. Humboldt County has for many years ranked among the worst in the state for traffic safety, and Eureka in particular has a very bad record for that. So this is a long-running problem. Of course, we talk about it being one of the worst in the state, but this is also not just a local problem. This is a problem statewide and nationally too. We have seen in the last decade or so a lot of the progress that was made in previous decades in improving road safety. We've seen a lot of those gains erased, and particularly when it comes to pedestrian deaths and injuries, which have really just skyrocketed over the last 10 or 15 years. Yes, there is a big problem. In terms of the data that EPD has been talking about just of the last year or two, I can't really speak to that because official data from the state are a couple of years delayed usually. And so we don't have those yet for the really recent data, but I have no reason to believe that EPD are not reporting accurately. I will say that collisions are not the only record of street safety or the only indicator. Part of that is because a lot of collisions don't get reported. Increasingly, police departments even have policies of not reporting what are called property damage only collisions, where there's no injuries, but also sometimes collisions where people are injured, particularly where there's someone riding a bike or walking, don't get reported at all. There are limitations, but yes, we have a big problem.
Okay, so we have a big problem, and EPD put out this press release. I think that you had complex feelings about this press release in part because while it's fantastic that EPD is calling attention to this problem, fundamentally, the tools that a police department have to deal with traffic safety are going to be fewer than other agencies of local government. Can you talk a bit about why it's difficult for us to enforce our way to safer streets?
Yeah, and this gets to one of the fundamental core principles that we try to follow at CRTP is making sure that recommendations that we make and things we advocate for are based on evidence. It is really tempting to believe that if we just enforce speed limits or pull over dangerous drivers, that will solve a safety problem. But unfortunately, there's just not a lot of evidence for that. We can look at studies that have been done in a variety of places over the course of decades. And what they typically show is that when you do this high visibility enforcement, you have cops along every corner in a corridor or something, that does result in a significant slowing of traffic and safety improvements often. But typically, as soon as that campaign ends, as soon as the cop cars disappear, people start reverting to previous behaviors and those safety gains are not sustained. Given the shortage of resources that local governments have and how expensive it is to pay for police officers and police cars and so forth, we don't view it as a really sustainable solution to the safety problem. And of course, there are other issues with enforcement, particularly around equity, which we've heard a lot about during the Black Lives Matter movement. And we know that there are consistent biases in police enforcement, and not calling out EPD specifically or any particular officer, but that's just the culture that we live in. And also that traffic stops can often escalate into violence, which might have been avoided otherwise. And we also know that even when everything goes well, we have like a flat fee system or fine system in this country, which means that no matter how much money you have or what your position in life is, if you are fined, even if it's for a non-safety thing like a broken taillight or something hanging from your dashboard, whatever, that hits a lot harder on someone with a low income than someone who has more money. And so there are a lot of equity concerns with using enforcement as your primary tool for safety.
So this discussion so far has talked about enforcement in terms of cops in cop cars, right? There's another kind of enforcement, which would be more passive enforcement. Things like red light cameras, speed cameras, some of which are difficult to have in California under California state law. Can you talk about some of these? And I think that Matt is, if I'm not mistaken, a pretty big fan of passive enforcement. So Matt, if you want to make your case for it too, I'll allow that.
Well, what you're getting at is the equity issues that Colin was just talking about are less of a problem with passive enforcement. So speed camera is not going to pull you over just for being black the way a police officer might. It does reduce those impacts. Although I have read and seen discussions where people are talking about like what neighborhoods you put the passive enforcement in can be biased. And then there's a question too of like, if the passive enforcement works and it makes folks drive safer in that neighborhood, then actually you could make an argument that like putting that in certain neighborhoods could be extra equitable because you're making those neighborhoods safer. And so it can kind of cut both ways. I will say, compared to some of the other ways of increasing safety, I think there are still probably both more effective and cheaper ways and less societally impactful ways to improve safety.
Well, maybe I will then do a full-throated endorsement of speed cameras and whatnot. I think that these are great. I know it moderates my behavior. When I know that there's some sort of like feeling that I am being watched, I behave better, whether or not that's a cop in a cop car or a knowledge that I might just get a ticket in the mail. Colin, what are your thoughts? Passive enforcement.
Yeah, you both got some important points there. So there is a lot of evidence that speed cameras, for example, do work to lower speeds, which is important. But the equity concerns that Matt mentioned, there still are those concerns. There's also implicit in what you were saying, Tom, there's concerns about privacy and surveillance, who's running these programs, what the software is collecting, all those kinds of things, and what those data could be used for other than just automated enforcement. And increasingly, I think there's a lack of trust that in assurances that the cameras will only be used for that. So yeah, it's a much better solution, in my opinion, than like cops on the street, but it still has a lot of concerns associated with it.
So we do know that there are things at work. I would say in the past 10 years, a lot of credit is owed to Eureka City Council and other local governments for starting to implement some of these things that work. If not enforcement, it is trying to then maybe change the signals that we have on the road to our lizard brains to inherently make us safer drivers. I guess, what do I mean by that, Colin?
I think you're trying to get at traffic calming, which is based on this principle that the way you design the road affects how people drive, even if they're not making that conscious decision. For example, things like narrowing a road or narrowing a lane in a road results in people driving more slowly. Also, even things like street trees can result in people driving more slowly. Maybe ironically, but having a variety of things going on, particularly in an urban area, the road having a little bit of a curve to it or that kind of thing can result in people driving more slowly and carefully rather than just speeding down a straight road towards the end of their cone of vision. Those are just very simple and effective principles to slow down traffic. I guess I would say that speed is really the most important thing in terms of predicting both whether a crash will occur and also how severe the results will be if there is a crash.
I learned something interesting from a CRTP email, which you can sign up for where, Colin?
transportationpriorities.org.
So in this CRTP email, you discussed how speed limits our cone of vision, how much we are able to see as drivers. When we're going slow, right, we're able to process a lot more information. We'll be able to see the person on the sidewalk who might be starting to enter in a crosswalk. We will be able to see a cat that is underneath a car that might run out in front of us and cause us to swerve. As we start to go faster, our field of vision narrows. The amount of information our brain can adequately process decreases, or there's just more information to process at a faster rate, so we're not able to see as much.
Jumping a step back to what Colin was saying about the road design, I feel like if you've driven around, you've experienced this yourself. And so I just wanted to make it clear to folks, like, you probably drive differently when you're driving like by the plaza in Arcata, because there's a lot of crosswalks and like people moving around on the street, and there's street trees and there's stop signs every couple blocks than you do if you're driving on Samoa going out to the peninsula, right? And it's because those two streets are designed extremely differently to make you feel like you should be driving differently as a driver. And the places where we see the most accidents and the most concern is where the street is designed to make you feel like you should be driving really fast, but there are people on bicycles or pedestrians crossing the street or something like that. And so then you get a conflict there between how the driver feels like they should be driving and then what's actually safe for them to be doing in that situation.
That's absolutely correct. The prime examples in our region, of course, are Broadway, 4th and 5th Street in Eureka. But also, you can look at some other corridors. Harris and Henderson in Eureka have some of those characteristics. Myrtle, really picking on Eureka here. But those
Central Avenue, come on, let's spread the
Central
hate.
Avenue is another great one in McKinleyville. Yeah, where the street is designed to move as much traffic as possible, as quickly as possible. But we have all these destinations. We have all these people walking and biking to those destinations. And also, even we have drivers moving in and out of the driveways and all that kind of stuff. And so that is just a recipe for an unsafe street.
When I was growing up and first learning to drive, I was taught this concept of a speed trap, which is a road where you feel like you can safely drive really fast, but the speed limit has been posted at like 30. 15 and 16 year olds would say to me, like, watch out for speed traps, these roads where they've set the speed limit arbitrarily low to make you get a speeding ticket. And I think that a lot of drivers think about these roads this way, where they think, well, this road feels like I should be able to go fast, but the city has made the speed limit too low for me. But what's actually happening is the city is recognizing that it's like a dangerous place that people need to cross the street and such. And so they've tried to fix a problem that they caused with road design with a speed limit and with now traffic enforcement. Part of what we're talking about here is getting at like the root cause of the problem, which is the street design, and not trying to Band-Aid fix it later.
That's right. Although probably the police officers listening will get mad if I don't say that speed traps are explicitly illegal in California. It's actually a bit of a problem, but until quite recently, at least, it has been very, very difficult to even to lower speed limits even in California. There's a little more flexibility now. Yeah, and I think that reflects sort of a culture of we should be able to drive fast if the road allows us to drive fast.
So let's talk about a recipe for a good road. And here I think that we can start to pull from examples of things that the city of Eureka and other local governments are now starting to do.
You are listening to the Eco News Report.
And we are talking about street safety, both in Humboldt County and specifically here in Eureka. If speed is an issue, what are ways that we can reduce speed through road design?
As we already talked about a little bit, narrowing roads and narrowing lanes are both probably the best researched ways to reduce speeds. That essentially has to do with what Matt was talking about. If you just subconsciously feel a little bit more constrained, if you have a narrower path forward, and that results in people driving more slowly.
Can that just be as easy as paint, right? So I think about some road prisms like J Street in Eureka, a very wide road, but the lane width doesn't have to match the width of the road prism, right?
Yeah, just narrowing the painted lane does make a difference. I think there's some evidence that vertical elements have an even bigger impact. So whether that's trees or parked cars or a curb or anything like that probably has an even greater traffic calming impact, but certainly just paint makes a difference. On speed, designs that just practically limit speed, and the first thing that people might think of is speed bumps or speed humps, those are in fact very effective when well placed at reducing speeds, so that's something we can't ignore. There are other features like what are called chicanes, where the lane or the entire road does a little curve, a little S-curve or something like that, and that just practically forces people to drive a little slower. So there are interventions like that that also can make a big difference.
Chicanes, for example, Second Street in Eureka, where the road has little parklets that force the road to take a more sinuous path, is one local example of an intervention to try to slow down vehicle speeds. Okay, so vehicle speed is important. Also, visibility, particularly of the most vulnerable road users, folks on bicycles and pedestrians. We've seen a few things be done to increase visibility. We have the curb bulb outs now in many locations in Eureka. Explain to listeners what curb bulb outs are meant to do.
So they're meant to do two things. One is to improve visibility, as you're saying, which means both the ability of a pedestrian to see oncoming traffic, but also the ability of drivers to see a pedestrian waiting to cross the street or stepping out to cross the street. So that's a really important thing. Bulb outs are also intended to slow the turning movement of traffic. And that is also really important because if you make a really fast turn, that is also increases your chances of crashing into a pedestrian or anything else that might be around the corner that you can't see. But certainly visibility is a really important thing. And that's one of the things we hear the most concerns about in Eureka, particularly in the 4th and 5th Street corridor.
What a lot of these things have in common is they make it so you have to be a bit more thoughtful as a driver. Instead of whipping through the turn, you have to slow down and like think about exactly the angle that your car is going to move. Instead of going straight as fast as you can, you have to slow down and move through the chicane safely. As a driver, subjectively, that can feel like, oh, this road is more difficult now, right? I have to think more than I used to when I'm driving, and I don't like that experience. But in terms of your safety, the fact that you are not just on autopilot and are like actively thinking about how to drive is making you a better driver who is less likely to get into a car accident that could hurt yourself or someone else. Part of the problem that we have is that there's a difference between this subjective experience of what driving is like and what is actually making you safer. So I hope that this is helping people understand, like, oh, I find it annoying to slow down and turn slowly around the bump outs in Eureka. But what is happening when you do that is you are driving much safer and are therefore much less likely to swipe a pedestrian and their life and ruin yours.
Yeah, that's true. I also think that in some ways, it can be a nicer driving experience when things are a little safer and slower. I talk to people pretty regularly who just completely try to avoid driving on 4th or 5th or Broadway because even as a driver, it feels stressful and scary. When people are driving a little more slowly and a little more predictably and consistently, it can be more pleasant to drive. A lot of times we hear safety sort of pitted against congestion as a policy goal, like, well, we're going to slow people down, that'll make it safer, but then we'll all have to wait in traffic. I won't get home soon enough and it'll be terrible. But I would take safety every time because I think it's just important to save people's lives. But often that isn't even a real trade-off. And partly that's because when people drive, even if you're going at a lower sort of average speed, if traffic is moving at a more consistent pace, you can often move traffic through a street just as quickly on average. Partly that's because people aren't like accelerating aggressively and then slamming on the brakes and then switching lanes and doing all these things, which they're doing in order to try to get somewhere faster, but in the aggregate actually result in traffic going more slowly.
So we know that there are some problem streets in Eureka, and the Coalition for Responsible Transportation Priorities has put forward a petition to Caltrans concerning 4th and 5th Streets, aka Highway 101 through the northern part of town. Talk a little bit about what you are hoping Caltrans might do to improve the road safety of these streets?
A couple of things. Folks may remember that we put out a report last fall that really documented the safety problems on 4th and 5th streets for all users, for people walking and biking and driving and riding the bus. We documented those problems and then also recommended some specific evidence-based safety solutions. The petition was really based on that report. There are a bunch of things in there that we're asking for. Some of them are related to, for example, the visibility issue, and that's one of the most common complaints we hear, not only from pedestrians and bicyclists, but from drivers trying to cross 4th and 5th streets at unsignalized intersections, and also from drivers on 4th and 5th streets not being able to see people trying to cross. More bulb outs, also pushing parking back a little bit further from the curb so that big vehicles aren't blocking sight lines. Caltrans actually has recently improved just the painting of the crosswalks to make them more visible, which is great. You can do some lighting, pedestrian sort of scale lighting at some of those crossings, which can make things more visible, which is another way to do that. There's additional traffic calming measures. The biggest headline item that we asked for is to convert one lane in each direction to a protected bike lane, which would probably look like a bike lane that's behind the row of parked cars so that they'll have parking on both sides of the street as it is in most of that corridor. But there would be a protected place to bike and also would narrow that cross section of the road that people have to cross, whether you're walking or biking or driving, to two lanes, which reduces your exposure to drivers and vehicles, also makes it so that you can be more visible and people are less likely, like if one lane yields, you don't have to wait for all three lanes to yield or step out in traffic and worry about drivers pulling around other drivers and that kind of thing. It has that significant traffic calming effect. So narrowing the road a little bit will result in people going a little slower, more able to see with that wider cone of vision, more likely to yield. And so that's a really big thing. And also just providing a safe place for people to bike, because regardless of any the bike infrastructure improvements that have gone on outside of the corridor, which are great, there's just a lot of homes and businesses and government offices and all sorts of things on those streets that people need to access, whether they're walking or biking or driving. We also are advocating for additional crossing improvements. We think that some signals are probably needed in some of the intersections where there aren't signals. So it's a whole suite of things that we're asking for.
So I will say, I have already noticed the positive beneficial effects of the flashing crosswalks that have now recently been installed by Caltrans. So to my friends at Caltrans, thank you. I cross the 101 quite frequently on foot. Just being able to hit a button and have a light flash makes me feel so much better seen by cars. And I've already noticed an improvement in the rate by which people stop for me. It used to be kind of the game of Frogger to try to cross Highway 101, and just that little improvement, not very much money, very much effort, has helped.
One type of enforcement that I actually would like to see EPD try, you can have a police officer try to cross the street like you are, Tom, and then you can ticket everyone who doesn't stop for them, which I think would both get a lot of people stopping more frequently for pedestrians and would also be a good experience for EPD to know what it's like to cross the street as a pedestrian. So it could have a two-pronged good effect. And so in EPD's survey where they asked about traffic enforcement, obviously EPD isn't in charge of road design and all these things we're talking about. So in terms of things that they can do, I thought that might be a good enforcement strategy for them to try.
So here's something that I hope Colin doesn't mind me sharing this story. I participated with Colin in what we had hoped to be kind of a viral video moment where Colin put on a Bigfoot costume and we are going to try to get drivers to not stop for Bigfoot in a crosswalk with, you know, something like Bigfoot be like, can they just not see me? You know, regrettably for our viral content, I feel like dressing up as Bigfoot is a good way for drivers to take note of you, because people stop for us and waved for us. And we're delighted to allow Bigfoot to cross the street in this crosswalk in a way that I, as a lowly regular human, had never experienced theretofore.
I will say, Tom, that's not the only time I've crossed 4th and 5th Streets wearing a Bigfoot costume, and I haven't always had such a warm welcome from drivers, but yeah. You're right. It's a better record than being dressed in street clothes.
Yeah. Okay. I think that there are a couple of things that we want to get people to do. One is EPD has put out a survey of sorts to allow folks to register what their thoughts are about how they can improve road safety. And I hope that this episode and the conversation here about the need to change our road infrastructure as opposed to our traffic enforcement will color your perception or your recommendations to EPD. CRTP has for a long time been advocating for folks to do something called Street Story.
Sure. Street Story is an online platform where anybody can report a place that they've had a crash or a near miss or just a place that they think is hazardous on the street. And it was built by a team at UC Berkeley. So it's streetstory.berkeley.edu. Just takes a couple of minutes to make a report. It's anonymous, but then those data we use when we're advocating for safety, but also the city will use, the county will use, even Caltrans now officially accepts street story reports as a form of data for planning. So it's really important for people to make reports there. Of course, if you are in a crash, you should also report it to the police. But for other things that might never get reported, like near misses and hazards, it's a great place to report them.
I was at a Vision Zero meeting earlier this year, and the consultants that were hired to work on this were shocked by how robust the Street Story data was in Humboldt County. And so kudos to Colin for getting this out there and getting a lot of people to do it. And then reporting your near misses or places that you feel unsafe on here will directly go to decision makers and planners who are working on this stuff.
And I want to give a kudos to some of our local electeds. Doing road safety improvements, as we've joked a couple times here, is not necessarily the most politically popular thing, or if not the most politically popular, it does have a large contingent of loud folks online who will complain about things. I know the city of Eureka experienced this recently when they asked for thoughts about a bike boulevard on G Street. They got lit up on Facebook. So one, thank you to city officials. And two, also a reminder that Facebook is not a reflection of real life. The people who seem to like to participate in Facebook discussions that really reflect the larger citizenry. And so maybe also this is a reminder to cities that you don't need to try to win a popularity contest on Facebook. Facebook doesn't vote. Actual people do. Actual people are the ones who are benefiting from these road safety improvements. Keep up the good work. I've been really heartened by the H&I Street improvements, which I think have reduced traffic speeds considerably on those streets and have made crossing those streets safer as a pedestrian. I enjoy the C Street Boulevard nearly daily, and that has been a massive improvement. So good on you.
With the examples of H&I and C Street, it's important to also think about the co-benefits of these things, right? So my friend who lives on C Street now lives on a much quieter neighborhood street and enjoys that quite a bit. My friend who lives on I Street has like told me that he has noticed a reduction in like volume of traffic outside of his door because of these improvements. While road safety is obviously incredibly important, I think it's important for us to also recognize that a lot of these things will just make like your daily life better inside your house too.
They'll make Eureka great again.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I also wanted to just build on Tom's point to explicitly call out and appreciate that actually every member of the Eureka City Council, as well as Supervisor Natalie Arroyo, signed on and endorsed our petition. So this is an area where our local elected officials are stepping up often, and we really appreciate that and appreciate continuing to work with them to make the streets safer. I just want to make it clear to folks that with the survey that EPD has out, and since there's so much talk about enforcement, to the extent that we are using enforcement as a safety tool, it really needs to be focused on actual high-risk moving violations, whether that's speeding, DUI, aggressive driving, because those are the things for which there is actual evidence of even short-term safety gains. Whereas a lot of the times we hear about a lot of traffic stops related to non-moving violations, whether it's a broken taillight or expired registration or those kinds of things. those stops do not result in improved street safety. There's quite a bit of research on that. So we really want to focus on things that actually will, even in the short term, make things safer.
All right. This has been another episode of the Eco News Report. Join us next week on this time and channel for more environmental news from the North Coast of California.